Welcome, KCIW listeners. This is Community Conversations, and I'm Connie Hunter. Today, we have a big task at hand to continue the discussion about the upcoming ballot measures to expand the Curry Health District and Curry Health Network services to South Curry County. This ballot measure is 884 for South County, and then a separate measure, 883 for North County. Community Conversations is here today with Dale Thomas and Lori Van Zandt. Welcome, Lori and Dale. How's everybody doing today?
Great. Fine, thank you.
Great, thanks.
Let's get started because we have lots to cover. Besides being the chair of the Political Action Committee in favor of this ballot measure called the Friends of Curry Health Network, PAC, or Political Action Committee, Lori, can you do a little self-introduction? And then when you're done, we'll have Dale do a little self-introduction because I read your bios and I was so intrigued by yours specifically, Lori. Go ahead.
My husband and I purchased Tututin Lodge in 1980 and had two children and have since sold. And my whole heart has been in what can I do to give back? So here I am. Having taken the position as the PAC leader, I have been very inspired by the participation of Brookings and the entire county in terms of what are we going to do to improve service, expand health care, to a county that is demographically the oldest in the state of Oregon. We have a board that listens. We have a visionary CEO. We're continually hiring new doctors and specialists that are joining us. And our goal is to really expand and improve. I love seeing the fact that we're consistently training and improving our staff to give better service. You combine that with a visionary leader and, you know, as having been elected by the public to be on the board, my biggest goal was to really make a difference. And my premise was in the very beginning that we have big work to be done in this county healthcare-wise. For me, change really starts at the top. And we do have a very visionary leader in Jenny, our CEO. With that said, the combination of our new facilities, our visionary leader, I just see Curry County as just now starting to thrive. And it's in a really exciting time for me as a board member.
Dale, tell us a little bit about yourself. And you're retired. I don't think that you're retired. I see you busy all the time. So what's up with that?
Well, my wife and I bought a vacation home here in 1993. And then we retired full-time from Texas in 1999. For 30 years prior to that, I had been the founder, chairman, and CEO of a national healthcare consulting firm, and I was interested in bringing some of my expertise along with me as a citizen volunteer in Curry County. So I began to look at ways in which I might be able to help in the community. And it was an obvious choice was to see how I could help a Curry Health District. I became a board member of the Curry Health Foundation, was later president of the Curry Health Foundation. I'm also on the board of the Wild Rivers Community Foundation and the Oregon Community Foundation South Coast Leadership Council. So all of these activities are really seeking ways that we can make better health care in our communities on the South Coast. It is a busy job, but I've enjoyed the last 15 years doing that.
So when you talk about the Wild Rivers Community Foundation and all the other pieces of the puzzle, including the Foundation for Curry Health, we're talking about nonprofit. A lot of people don't see Curry General and the Curry Health Network and the district and understand how that works and how they're a nonprofit. We see some good information on your financials that show, for example, that Curry Medical Center in Brookings has a $404,000 profit, but that's not really profit, is it?
No, it's not really. In a for-profit organization, just like a nonprofit, you have to have more money at the end of the year than you started with at the beginning. The difference with a nonprofit is it takes those additional dollars and invests them back in the community. And that's what we're talking about here as we're trying to expand services further into the Brookings market, but more importantly, bringing services that don't exist anywhere in Curry County right now so people can lessen the amount of time they have to travel.
Exactly. And, you know, the way I see it is that when we start off opening this emergency room, we're going to have four bays. Currently, Sutter has 11, and they are spilling into their hallways. We understand that if we do pass this tax, we can expand from 4 to 8 bays. We can have up to 3 23-hour observation beds. With that said, now we will start to serve the Brookings Harbor community in proportion to the population of the area.
Now, one of the things that I keep hearing over and over again is the median assessed value of a home in Curry County is $234,000.
Yes.
And so we're looking at about $234 if you round up that 99 per thousand, 99 cents per thousand, and give us a straight dollar, you'd be paying about $234. Mm-hmm. As a nonprofit, KCIW is a nonprofit radio station. Our founding membership is $250. That's not a huge amount of money. And I'm saying I understand that people have to watch their pennies. That's real life. People on fixed incomes. But what I know is that when minutes matter, pennies don't. And so I want us to focus on the fact that this tax is really sustainable funding for your nonprofit. It really is creating that fiscal responsibility that nonprofits are supposed to create.
So I'm with that said, Connie, my heart really goes out to every single voter and resident who is on a fixed income. And this is a hardship. When you divide it out, it's $20 a month for the median average house. To some people, that is a lot of money, and we need to be sensitive to that. And what will they get for the value? That's my concern as a board member. Will they get the value for the money?
And I want to talk about the services in expanded healthcare that we're expecting and that the district is planning. But I want to make one more point. A district is owned by the citizens, by the residents. We hear that. What does that mean exactly? Dale?
Well, that means that the Curry Health District Board of Directors are elected by the residents, or the voters of the district. Right now, that district runs from Pistol River up to the Sixes River. And so the only people who can vote and select the Board of Directors have to be from that area. With the expansion and annexation, that means that all of the Curry Health District Board seats are at large and that it'll be open to all the folks in Brookings and Harbor and the other outlying areas of the county around Brookings and Harbor. So it's an elected board. Holds open board meetings, it posts its agendas, its minutes, and its financials monthly on its website. It's a very transparent organization.
I want to make one small comparison. Maybe you can make that for me, Dale, with Sutter. I don't want to get into Sutter bashing because we all know that they're partners in our region and solving our problems. Expanding healthcare, that means solving problems within the region. So I don't want to get into anything negative, but there are differences in how they do business and how our health district does business. Can you tell us a little bit about the differences between the boards?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
As I understand it, the Sutter Coast Board is appointed by the existing board members of Sutter Coast in the parent corporation, which is called Sutter Health. And so I understand people can apply to be on the board, and then those applications are reviewed by the Sutter Coast Board and the Sutter Health Board, and they pick the folks who may represent Del Norte and Curry County. I think currently they have a board of 8 with 2 representatives from Curry County.
Okay, and the other piece of that I really would like to emphasize is transparency. I am always caught off guard when I hear someone say, well, we didn't know about that. And when I attended the last town hall meeting, people in South County felt a little bit of a disconnect with the district. And there was a reason for that that I hadn't even thought of. They weren't part of the district, even though information was in the newspaper about meetings, direct mail or emails or so forth didn't go to South County because they weren't part of the district. So it wasn't an intentional disconnect. It was a physical organizational structure difference. You're changing the shape of that district. You're adding more territory. You want to tell us about the territory that's being added, and then we'll get into the services that are going to be increased?
Well, the territory that's being added is essentially from the Pistol River south to the California border. And by doing that, those folks will then be represented or have the opportunity to be represented on the Curry Health District Board. And the law says that when you expand a district, that you have to then have those members in the district be eligible to vote on members and to run for office to be board members of the Curry Health District. And the first general election allowed under the law is in May of 2017. But even if the annexation passes and the taxes increase, none of the residents in South County would be paying any taxes until November of 2016.
So that's a huge piece of the puzzle, is that we're actually building a different organizational structure within a nonprofit to better serve our community. That's pretty simple, but we have to have a change in the law to do that. And that law being changed and is also the law that has kept us from being able to have an emergency department here in the way that we're looking at having one. There was a huge piece of the puzzle that had to be administratively changed at the state level. I actually spent about an hour and a half one time talking with city manager Gary Milliman before I went up to Portland and talked to both Krieger and Cruz about this. And there was a huge piece of the puzzle was getting that administrative green light. That was no small task. That tells me something. That tells me the willingness of our health district and the leaders of the health district, the board, to go in there and roll up their sleeves and come up with a solution. So when we talk about expanding our healthcare in terms of services, we're looking at solving community solutions too. So I'm going to turn this one over to you. Please go ahead, Lori, because I know you're ready and wanting to tell us about that. And I know that's your passion.
Well, to me, it's just so exciting because bottom line is that if you're in a town hall meeting, you're anywhere, and you ask the entire room, how many of you here want to live your life out in Curry County? Everyone raises their hand. We all live in fear of needing dialysis, in fear of cancer, heart attack, stroke. And one by one, I just see people that I love, families that we raise our children together, having to leave because of health issues. And we're talking about the future of for all of us in terms of longevity and staying in Curry County, that, you know, the rural, beautiful area that we love. So to me, we're really trailblazing in the fact that we've gotten an exclusion, basically, from the state to put in the very first ever satellite emergency room in Brookings. It's exciting to us. And I feel that as a board, we've shown our intentions and our goodwill in spending $21 million to put in the medical center and now almost $1.5 million to get it ready to open as an ER. As Dale has stated in town hall meetings, we're putting our money where our mouth is. We do want this to work, and we are willing to open it with just 4 beds if the annexation doesn't pass. But of course, our concern really is it going to be sustainable? You know, without people voting yes, without people joining in.
One of the things that I have done and continue to do is I'm a professional director of development for nonprofits. I've been doing it for a number of years and multiple nonprofits. And what we're talking about is best practices and sustainability model. And we'll talk a little bit more about that model. But before we go any further, I have to disclaim myself so that people know that I'm not a a straight journalist in terms of who, what, where, why, and how as a reporter does, but I facilitate conversations, and I'm a commentator. And I'm a citizen who's trying to demonstrate that giving a voice to those who don't typically have a voice is important to developing social cohesion in our community. And that's a huge piece of the puzzle, why I support having the emergency department, but also the benefits, the long-term benefits, and the support that the community gets from what the health district is trying to do. KCIW hopes to create a culture of good decision-making through in-depth exploration of issues, and I see that it's a huge emphasis of the board to stay on track and identify the problems and come up with solutions. And so I want to talk a little bit about the 2014-2015 annual statistics for Curry Medical Center. And Dale, I'm going to ask you for your expertise and good information, because I don't think people realize how many people visit Curry Medical Center at this point in time and the kinds of things that we want to expand. Why do we need to expand them? We have the need, right?
Thank you, Connie. It is. I have people who drive by the Fifth Street Clinic, as some people refer to it, or as the folks in the health district have named it, the Curry Medical Center, probably don't realize the amount of care that's going on in that building already. It was opened in 2011, and at the end of 2015, 16,272 people had scheduled office visits in the past year. On top of those, 11,838 folks had urgent care visits. So that's over 28,000 visits to that facility in a one-year period. Now, those 11,838 people who had an urgent care visit, about 30% of those were actually emergency visits. A lot of people think that urgent care is the emergency room. It's not. What an urgent care center can do is very limited in scope compared to what an emergency room can do. And some of those people had to be put in an ambulance and sent either to Sutter or to Curry General for further care. And about of that 30%, about another 5% act had to be admitted to a hospital. So that's already happening. There's a tremendous need, and people are using it as an ER when it isn't equipped to be an ER. And this annexation and expansion will allow it to operate as it should be. It also does over 16,000 lab tests, over 6,000 x-rays, over 1,000 CT scans, or almost 1,000 MRIs, 1,500 mammographies, and 1,600 ultrasounds. These are services that didn't exist in Brookings before the Fifth Street Clinic opened in 2011. And you can say, well, they're making a lot of money, but that when you make a little money, that means you can add ultrasound or you can add the MRI. We used to have a mobile MRI now, but at the end of the year or the beginning of next year, there will be a fixed MRI, which means that the MRI will be here every day of the week. And right now, the mobile MRI only comes 2 days a week for limited hours to Brookings. With all that, the prices that Curry Health District charges are 46 out of 59, with 59 being the lowest hospital pricing in the state of Oregon. So we're priced in the bottom third of hospitals within the state of Oregon as well.
So a core value really is then making sure not only are you fiscally responsible, but also that you provide the services that are needed and grow those services as our community can afford to have them here? Is that part of the equation?
Yes, I think what's happening now is that when you look at these visits and you look at x-rays and labs, those things generally tend to have a margin on them. But when you look at an ER, there isn't an ER in the country that makes money. When you look at dialysis on a very small scale in a rural area, it doesn't make money. When you look at infusion therapy in a small area with the amount of trained staff you need and equipment, it doesn't make money. So what we're trying to do is expand more services using some of the profits we have and using the additional tax dollars to bring those services into the county.
Well said, Dale.
And you know what? That's the nonprofit way, isn't it? You grow things as you can afford to grow them. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention, though, something that came up and really stuck out in my mind at the recent town hall meeting that I attended, where Dr. Levine and private citizen Gary Milliman talked about, if we don't get the funding for an expanded emergency department, Lori, what will that look like?
Well, as a board member that came on the board with really my biggest passion being service, I have to say that word of mouth is everything. It is everything. We see that now with the trouble we have in the county in reversing this and caring about each and every person who comes through the door. My concerns are when you have 4 beds and you need 8 or 11 beds, even though you can be very loving in the hallway and caring, you still, your facility is inadequate. So for us in our business, when we owned it for 30 years, we made number one in travel and leisure. That's what I see for Curry Health Network. Let's be the premier rural hospital in the state of Oregon. Let's show them how it's done. And we can do that by all getting on board, having the money to be adequate and serve the people.
And those observation beds, you may not understand, we're talking about up to 3 of those. But what happens, so the state, because we're an emergency room, limits us to a 23-hour stay. If you have to stay more than that, you have to be in a hospital. But a lot of times, you only need to be there overnight. For example, if people are dehydrated on flu, they can be put into an observation bed and put on IVs overnight and then just released in the morning. There's no need to go to a hospital for that service. They can stay right in Brookings and return home because they can easily be stabilized in less than 23 hours.
One extreme example, which, you know, I will just throw out there that's been brought up, is what if we have a tsunami and you can't get to Curry General and you can't get to Sutter and you're isolated? Well, if we had up to 11 beds, we would immediately turn into a mini hospital. We would immediately service the people and address the national disaster. We'd use the Rush Surgery Center, which would also add to the number of beds where we can service people. And the fact that we will have grown and expanded in terms of our specialists and doctors in the Brookings Harbor area will allow us to care for everyone. With that said, one of the most exciting things for me in coming on the board is looking at the statistics that were done recently that state that $67 million are leaving our county annually for health care. That gives us a lot of leeway for growth and improvement. Yes, we have to prove ourselves. Yes, we have to deliver. But with that comes so many benefits to the Brookings area. We will attract and retain residents. For instance, right now, I just met with somebody that has a $1 million home on the ocean in Brookings. Well, they're getting ready to think of selling and moving. Realtors all over the Brookings Harbor area will tell you the same thing. People are older, they're afraid, and they don't think that they will be able to live out their life here. With that said, if this annexation does go through, our school enrollments will increase. We will attract new businesses. I've been told by the economic development director that if we unite as a county, it will attract industry. That's something we desperately need that could be a great economic boom to the Brookings area. This will reduce the cost of travel. It'll increase the number of family wage jobs we have within our county. And it will, with the new facilities that we're building, lessen provider turnover. With all that said, these are exciting times.
Yeah, Lori, we might mention also that the Fifth Street Clinic or Curry Medical Center already employs 103 people. And with the new hires that are needed for the emergency room expansion, that'll add another 35 employees, all family wage jobs, people who can afford to buy a home and educate their kids in the community.
Well, another piece of that business model that we're talking about and your business plan is that the model is being built around what the insurance companies and governmental agencies will pay for too. A lot of people don't realize how Medicare is somehow involved in helping us expand our services. You want to tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll get back to the other economic benefits?
50% of all our patients are Medicare. That is in line with the demographics of our county, that being the oldest county in the state. Medicare reimburses 101% of all Medicare fees, which really allows us, as one of the components, to take the $49 million in debt that we have at this time, subtract the reimbursement we get from Medicare, subtract the leases that we have, and when you come down to the bottom line, our true debt that we pay back is $13.3 million, and that is feasible, and we can sustain ourselves knowing that.
So a piece of that puzzle that I bring up occasionally as I'm talking to people is not only our demographics include more people in the senior category, but we have veterans in our demographics. We have more veterans per capita than any other county in Oregon. That also means with the new 2014 VA Health Care Reform Act, that veterans can get a special card. It's called a Patient's Choice Card, under a lot of different circumstances, and they are growing that program, so there will be more opportunities for veterans to get their community-based medical care, especially in some of the areas that I'm finding out that we expect to have expanded in the near future or sometime soon. So that has never been added into that $67 million leaving the county. When we talk about our veterans having to go to White City and or Roseburg or even south, because some of our veterans end up having to go to clear to San Francisco for care. So that's another piece of that puzzle. When we talk about $67 million infusion into a community, what we're talking about is something comparable to, and I'm going to give you a positive economic impact number for something that is arts related. If you look in what is called the Creative Vitality Index, which is an indicator, it's a collection of data around arts and culture as economic drivers in a community. If you go to Ashland and the Shakespeare Festival, $58 million positive economic impact. And you know how much business happens just around the Shakespeare Festival. We're talking about a huge piece of an industry that could exist here going elsewhere, not only in terms of services, but in terms of economic drivers. We certainly could use that extra money here locally. But beyond that, it becomes that tool that drives the district to be able to create those new services.
Oh, yes, Connie. And another thing that's happening is that as the Affordable Health Care Act, for example, added colonoscopy as a covered service, but at the same time, the insurers for health care are looking for ambulatory settings which can provide the same service for less money than an inpatient setting. And a colonoscopy is an excellent example of that. If you have a colonoscopy done within a hospital, it's typically around $6,500. If you have it done at the Rush Outpatient Surgery Center, it's about $2,000. And therefore, some insurance companies and some managed care plans are now mandating that those services must be done on an outpatient basis rather than in a hospital. So if we don't have those services like the Rush Surgery Center here, you could be forced to go to Medford or forced to go to Coos Bay to get a colonoscopy on an outpatient basis.
One thing I wanted to mention that's really important to me is there's an issue out there that Brookings Harbor will not have a voting board member for the next 15 months if this annexation passes. And I really ethically would like to speak to the heart and the passion of our board. We really do get that it's countywide needs that need to be met. And that's why I jump in my car when someone calls and drive to Brookings. That's why everyone matters. Ethically, as a person, as a board member, I would never segregate, well, Gold Beach gets this and Brookings gets that. That's not in my frame of reference. That's not how I ran my business. It's not how I raise my children, and it's not how I function as a board member. Everyone matters.
And there's a piece of that puzzle that I want to break down on the economic side of things, because as you and I were talking in preparation of this interview, Lori, you brought up something that really encapsulated it for me in a way that I'm going to communicate it better, that the tax equates to approximately $20 a month. that's not a lot of money unless you're strapped for cash and in a financial situation. So there are ways, especially under the Affordable Care Act and so forth, to help people financially on that side of things. But the tax, what that does is it builds that sustainability in that business plan that takes care of the least of these. You know, my true north says we need to do that. And when I hear that coming from you, that true north, that we're going to serve the people, and it's not about economics in terms of services, you've got the best model going. And you've got a change in the landscape of healthcare when you start talking about the Affordable Care Act. So to me, I hate to say it, but it feels like a no-brainer. But that's because my husband and I can afford that amount of money. What do you say to the person that is a homeowner, doesn't feel like they can actually afford that $20 a month?
Well, I would say that when I think of that question, Connie, my first honest reaction is that I wish people that were on a fixed income didn't have to pay the $20 a month, honestly. And I know, and I don't discount, that it is a hardship. With that said, it may save their lives. With that said, it may save a lot of lives. To be a little bit gruesome, people have died in the parking lot at Curry Medical Center because it's been closed. We need to be sustainable. We are not just a medical facility. We are a business. The bottom line does matter. With that said, we all need to gather together and get on board for this to happen.
I think that's the bottom line, is pulling together as a community. And when I think about when minutes matter, then the pennies don't. That's really what it boils down to. And what I am appreciating about this interview is getting and addressing a couple key issues. Not only did we address the benefits in terms of services, but in terms of economic development, we looked at how much we do for others in this community in a general way through nonprofits. And we really have to rest for a minute and say, this is a nonprofit that's actually doing what nonprofits are supposed to do. So I really encourage people to come from that place of giving, just like they would for any nonprofit. Even though this is a tax, it provides a sustainable funding, but it really is part of giving back to the community. So before we go too much further, I just need to wrap it up, and I want to make sure that there is nothing that you have wanted to say that needs to be said. And Lori, go first, and Dale, you can do the final wrap up.
I might add, Connie, that October is the Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Curry Health Network is offering unlimited free breast cancer mammograms. And if you have insurance, your copay is waived. If you're uninsured, it's free. I think that speaks to the heart of our network. Last year, we did 240 free mammograms, and this year, we expect to do 500. I love Jenny, our CEO's progressive thinking in educating the public and being proactive in taking responsibility for your health care. And I think we're going to see a lot of different programs coming down the line that do that, especially for women.
It's funny because I've had people actually tell me about getting their free breast exam. And a friend of mine mentioned that and said, you better get in there. So it just runs through the month of October. Is that what we're talking about?
That's correct.
Okay. Dale, you've hit a home run with giving us good information about the numbers. Any other numbers or any other information that you want people to know before they make that decision to vote?
Well, yes, I would just urge people to vote yes. Join with us in making Curry County a stronger healthcare delivery place where people can stay here as long as they want and have the kinds of services that make them healthier for a longer time.
I consider myself as part of the Friends of Curry Health Network Political Action Committee. So listeners are free to discount my opinions, but please do not discount the efforts of KCIW to present multiple opinions and provide a viable petri dish for civic engagement and the free exchange of ideas. I think the heart of a nonprofit is very different than the heart of a major corporation, And the fact that we have a nonprofit whose heart is in the right place in our community to grow the services that keep us safe and save our lives in the short term, it's important. But for the long term, those special screenings like the breast cancer screening, huge importance to our community. And that goes back to the words that I used earlier, social cohesion. And that was something that I really felt strongly about, especially since the Natural Disaster Resilience Competition, part of that grant application included asking for grant funding on behalf of the emergency department. What I'm realizing now is we're going to have the emergency department regardless, but as a cost center, we must sustain it or the lights go off. So thank you for joining me today. I know I've elaborated more than I normally do, but I felt it was important to try to get to those nuts and bolts and get the good information out. If you enjoy the in-depth interviews of KCIW, please join us as a founding member, as a volunteer. Our website provides an easy way to donate. Visit our Facebook page and check out what our volunteers have been up to, and join our family if you have some spare time to volunteer. And thank you both for coming, Lori Van Zandt and Dale Thomas. We appreciate your good input and your heartfelt commitment to our community.
And thank you so much, Connie, for all the energy you put into our county.
Thank you, Connie.
If you enjoyed this program and want to hear more like it, consider supporting Curry Coast Community Radio and help us get on the air. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.